Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are doing Baltimore Positive. We usually do Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Instead, we're doing our charity week, a cup of Super Bowl for local food pantries and the food bank here. So in lieu of that, we are going around the country to bring in some of my favorite people, my greatest hits, as it were, as Patrick Mahomes goes for three in a row. I always love getting the feedback. If you are familiar with the ESPN Sports Reporters, as everybody has been, and the longtime sage voice of the Boston Globe, we welcome the young biggest old timer I know, but always great to have Bob Ryan back on the program. Bob, how are you? Every time I see a game at Boston College or something, I'm thinking, I bet Ryan's courtside for that watching college basketball right now up there.
Well, I did go to the Cooper Flag game, that's for sure. And I've been there twice this year, but Cooper, yeah, I had to get that belt notch, you know.
Well, what still gets you out to games at this point? What motivates you to say, I'm going to go to a ball game at this point because I'm getting to be as old as you? And some days it's harder than others for me to say, don't want to go to the game, or am I just good here with my wife and my cat watching it on TV?
Well, one of the reasons I like to go to games, particularly the Celtics games, is that I do two podcasts a week, and you know I can't always rely on talking about 1986, you know, and which I'm happy to do, but you can't live on that. And so, look, for example, I will be present tonight when the Rockets come in town, and I am very intrigued by the Rockets. I like the young talent. I just read a story this morning in The Athletic about Sigurd, and that the Turkish young big man. And an interesting young fellow, and I want to see him play in person. I haven't seen him in person, and they're an intriguing team, really. I think they're definitely a growth stock in the Western Conference, and so I'm anxious to see them. I like to see new people, new teams, new players. So that's an obvious motivation. With regard to BC, who are an average, mediocre team at best this year, that's the alma mater. The sense of loyalty. I like to go just because this is my 61st year of Boston College basketball. I'm going back to my freshman year at BC. And so I like to at least go once a year to keep that string intact, right? So that's for sure. And of course, Cooper Flagg came a week ago Saturday. That was a no-brainer. I made sure I got tickets for that in July when the schedule was posted.
The fact that you still love sports and you're, not writing it in the Oscar Madison way that you did for half a century and training down to New York and doing all the things that you were doing sort of at that point, still having a player from the Houston Rockets come to town probably reminds you they got this Olajuwon, this Drexler kid I got to go see play. The fact that there's still things that make you, I haven't seen Ohtani play yet. As an example, right? He came in all this time with the Angels running around. And I'm thinking, like, seeing Lamar Jackson play is something that even 5, 6 years ago, they played a game at the LA Memorial Coliseum. They played one game there that year that the Rams played there, but when they were building the blimp out in Inglewood, and the Ravens just freight trained them in these purple uniforms that night. And when I was out there, I was on the street corners, and they were selling Lamar Jackson t-shirts and jerseys in Los Angeles. And I'm thinking, people are coming here to see something they feel like they've never seen, but seeing greatness, whatever that would be, that you
Well,
still seek that in some way.
first of all, the whole motivation for my career is I'm a sports fan. I never denied, you know, I'm not one of these writers that would pompously go around saying, I don't care who wins and loses. I just worry about people, you know. Well, that's a lot of BS because, first of all, writing about people is the layup drill of writing. If you have any kind of compassion, command of the language, you know, et cetera, feel for people, writing about people is the easiest thing in the world. The point is, we wouldn't care about these people if they weren't playing the games. The whole root of my fandom is the fact that I love the games and the competition and the aesthetics of various games. And that's never changed. And so that's always been my motivation. I don't deny that I rooted for the Celtics when I covered them, but when the game was over, I put on my journalistic hat and wrote the game I just saw, and that's no. I don't see a contradiction. You can be a fan and you can be a writer. Some writers think there is a contradiction, but not for me. Maybe you have to be true to your personality. That's who I am. I still am interested in games. I'm interested in competition. I had a like for example. Yesterday, I thought yesterday afternoon and evening was a great way to spend a day. I'm not the biggest football fan, okay? Football is third on the list for me, okay? Baseball and basketball clearly is superior to football for me in general terms. However, these are the most important games of the year. How could any football fan not be pleased with what he or she saw yesterday? Even the first game, which I thought was a wonderful game to watch as a neutral, even though the final score was 55 to 23, because there was a lot of great stuff going on in that game. The losing team successfully executed a beautiful fake punt. Remember that? And things like that. That's part of the fun of sports. You don't see that every day. It was worked beautifully. There were a lot of good stuff in that game. No, it was more, and it was more competitive than that final score will ever reveal, if you saw it, as you know that. And then, of course, every Kansas City game, the fact that they did it again, that they won a one-score game, and that run that they're on is unprecedented in football history. You know that. So, if you're I'm plugged into that too. So I had a wonderful day of enjoyable watching football yesterday, and I'm still a fan. That's all.
It is amazing at these times of the year before the game. If I had had you on last week, we'd be talking about this execution of that and whether this defense is going to do this. And they're in the end, these playoff games are about mistakes, big mistakes, right?
Oh.
And to some degree, fake punts and some chicanery to some degree. But it's rarely well, the Ravens are just going to dominate by running the ball. No, they're going to fumble, and the other team's going to fumble too. And it's going to be cold and wet and icy. And Mark Andrews is going to drop a ball that he's caught 99 and a half times out of 100, and it's always going to be drama and tragedy, right? To something, it's never a cleanly played game in
Well, seldom.
January. Yeah, seldom.
No, seldom. You're right. And there was great examples of that with the three turnovers yesterday, of course, and also the failed fourth down, which how there was most indecisive call. No way anyone could tell, will ever know whether he made it or not because of that pile up. And there was no definitive video for anybody to go on. It's strictly a guess. And that changed the game, and that drop, and then the great drop on the what's his name? I forget his name. That dropped the catchable pass in the last minute and a half for the Bills. The guy Fairchild, who dropped that? You remember the pass
Keep
that he
going. Just
dropped?
move
He
on.
should have caught it. Should have caught it. Okay. Anyway, oh yeah, the game changed on a lot of stuff. But how about the fact that the first game starts? Here go the Commanders down the field. 18 plays, longest drive of the year. And they can't score. They get the field goal. And then you get a good return up to the 40. And Saquon goes 60 yards on the first play of the scrimmage. I mean, right then and there, how could you not enjoy that as a neutral? I'm a neutral in that game, okay? And oh my God, this is going to be great. Well, it was great. I don't care if the final score was 50, I don't care if it was 155 to 23. It was a very entertaining game of football.
Bob Ryan is here. He spent most of his life thinking like maybe the Red Sox would never win or the Patriots would never win or even get a stadium or even hang around or be moved to someplace like Baltimore back in the day. He is the longtime voice of the Boston Globe. You can find his podcast out there and obviously lots of old sage film from sports reporters and John Saunders, who once worked here in Baltimore, late great John Saunders. Bob, for you with the Patriots and for, I guess, even the Red Sox in the modern era, there was a point where like, you were wondering if they were ever going to get up that mountain. And now, 25 years later into this century, we look at it and say, man, you had a lot of your city and your town through your tenure and Shaughnessy and all of that era. And I'll throw, Sean McDonough into that, who was my co-host 25 years ago. For Bostonians and Boston media, and having those four franchises, as well as all these great college teams in BC and all that and basketball up there, you've really squeezed it out. And now here comes Vrabel into this thing to sort of try to continue the Belichick thing. This Kraft thing's teetering a little bit here in the aftermath of Brady and Belichick, to try to put it back together. And it feels to all the rest of us like whatever you're feeling about the Chiefs and Mahomes right now, y'all have won enough that the Patriots can go away maybe as long as the Packers did, for a while.
I was never greedy about it in my mind. I was never greedy. I knew these were the good old days with the Patriots while it was going on because I've seen too much. I mean, I knew in 1985, 86, the Celtics, those were the good old days. And still holds up 40 years, almost 40 years later. It's still the best team in the history of the NBA pre 3-point mania. That's a whole, we're in a different game now. The Warriors, no, it's it, the, you can dividing line in NBA histories is two or three of them. The 24-second clock, of course, changed the NBA in 1954. And the hostile takeover of the three has in the 21st century has taken changed the game completely. Anyway, the Patriots, I was never greedy. I was grateful for what they were doing. And I'm aware things are cyclical. There's an ebb and flow. I'm not shocked that they couldn't make that it was going to end sooner or later. It ended. And they're having a very, very tedious, painful rebuild as they get away from the Brady Belichick era. The first good sign of any possible revival is they have a quarterback. They have the first thing that you need, and obviously, and they have that. So that's the first baby step they've taken on road back to respectability is that they appear to have a quarterback you can rely on and you can win with.
Bob Ryan is here. We're talking some football, the Mahomes thing, and thinking how hard this is to do. And you talked about it being historic. If there's three, right? It feels like Brady won 12 in a row. I mean, didn't man? We were in the middle of that. Roethlisberger, a lot of people, Eli, Peyton, they all had something to say about it. But it did feel like they won every year, except the Chiefs really are winning every year. And this is for Andy Reid, for Spagnuolo to be a failed head coach and go back and then put the band back together there. And for Andy Reid and all he endured in Philadelphia, losing championship games, losing Super Bowls, Donovan McNabb, there has been this incredible second life for him. And to your point, having the quarterback and the coach sort of be the Batman and the Robin in all of this, what Andy Reid has done out there is this is incredible what they've done.
Well, yes, but he certainly benefited by having the quarterback. And there's no question. It's just as Belichick benefited by having a quarterback. But I think in both cases, it was a partnership and an important partnership. And Brady wouldn't have developed the way he did under other coaches. I'm not saying no other coach. But other coaches, he wouldn't have developed the way he did. And I'm sure that Pat Mahomes wouldn't develop the way he did without the proper backing of from his coach. So, I mean, that's an appropriate partnership. Yeah, I'm happy for Andy Reid in that regard because he took a lot of crap in Philadelphia. Wasn't always, and coaches, the coach doesn't play the game. Ultimately, the players play. But regardless, coaching is very important in the NFL. It's clear. It's very important. And he's on his way to Hall of Fame now, and he's a ubiquitous presence and off the on commercials even, Bumbleduski, oh boy. So who knew that was in him? But he's a natural ham. Turns out he loves performing. Obviously, who knew that? Well, we know it now. And so it's cool. It's very nice.
Baseball has been your passion as well, and I called you last summer. We connected early in the year. We didn't connect later in the year, and the Orioles blew it in the end. But it's different year now. There is new ownership. There's sort of new hope. There's no more Angelos around anymore. Now, they had the indignity here playing two playoff games with 10,000 empty seats out in the outfield here. They didn't win the games. It didn't. The season ended with a little bit of a thud here, and Lamar, and it's easy to move on. Now that Lamar and Mark Andrews, and that's over with, we move back to baseball, signing 41-year-old pitchers, 35-year-old Japanese pitchers, and trying to get by with this lineup of all of these 1-1 and these lottery picks, whether it's Couser, Westberg have turned into great players, or whether they're waiting on Rutschman, hoping Holiday gets here, and Gunnar Henderson, they're going to hit the ball. And despite the fact that they didn't like go all in on Corbin Burns and they've signed some relief pitching here, they're over under in Vegas is 89.5. Most people think this is still a playoff team, and I don't know how they're going to pitch and put it all together. And they have some resources in the minor leagues to deal out for some pitching during the season if they can get a Dylan Cease or get that sort of top of the rotation guy. But give me a little baseball perspective for you because we haven't had a lot of baseball to talk around here the last 30 years, where the day the Ravens get eliminated, all that sadness is. Well, we have a chance to win. We have a good baseball team here. We haven't had much of that, Bob.
Well, I know you do, and I respect it. And the Orioles are the least you can say is they're very respectable. It's not a the Yankees are always a colossus on paper, but there's flaws there. You would have to favor the Yankees, and after that, the rest of the division is wide open, really. And certainly the Orioles are in that cluster. They are a playoff team. Do you have to think of? I mean, they are a team that has every right to expect to make the playoffs. I think, no question. You have the right to expect it. And I think they're in relatively good, position in that regard. But there's not enough fear in that division either. The Yankees will see sometimes, this with all the resources at their command, all the financial resources and all and at their command. The fact of the matter is that they last won in 2009, and they really haven't had a particularly fruitful 21st century, despite all the money that they've had to spend. And they have spent with a B, billions and dollars, $1 billion in recent times, and on all that. But they're not. Nobody to be, they're not to be feared. The Orioles have every right to feel that they can be competitive, so good luck to them. And I've always been partial to the Orioles in that regard.
I'm married to a Red Sox fan, so when they come in here, we don't see each other as much as we used to back in the day. But certainly for your city and for baseball and for how much will my ownership really invest in this? We don't talk about that in football with the salary cap. In baseball, no matter, even in Boston, where they've spent a lot of money, well, they're not spending as much as they used to. And look at what they did to Mookie, right? Like, so there's always that when it comes to spending. And if the Orioles don't win this year and Corbin Burns is a reason for that, it'll be pointed to because it just costs a lot of money to keep baseball players in every market, even when you're perceived to be wealthy, like the Mass or the Nesson and the Boston market.
Well, right now the Mets are the, and of course the Dodgers have resources, and they use them up. And the Dodgers are what happens when, I remember when Andrew Friedman went there, I said, oh boy, this is going to be interesting, because now he's got money, and he did what he did in Tampa Bay, which was a remarkable job without money, and now he's doing it, showing it, he's got the judgment, and they've got the money, and they look like they're an unstoppable force right now. The Mets, of course, have unlimited resources as well, and but look at their situation. They still haven't resolved the Alonso thing. Now people are coming to thinking there's no way they're going to keep him, but I don't know who's going to take him. We'll see. Anyway, the Red Sox are very much under scrutiny here for their unwillingness to spend money the way they once did, and we posed this question to John Henry. What are your priorities in your business life, your sports business life? When he bought the team over 20 years ago, that was all he had. He was a Yankee minority owner. He sold the right. He became the owner of the Red Sox. Now it's Fenway Sports Group. Fenway Sports Group. They've got Liverpool. They've got the Penguins. They've got golf. They've got DraftKings or whatever it is. They got one of them. They've got lots of stuff in their portfolio. And the Red Sox are just a part of that portfolio. And whereas once they were his only interest in sports, now they're only one of his many interests. And we wonder what is the primary interest. Liverpool's topped the Premiership again this year, so that's been a that's the big issue here. They are not the players for the talent that they once were. Now, having said that, what we're looking forward to seeing here is the development of what all the baseball insiders think is a very good crop of young players. Their farm system is producing some guys. You're going to hear about Roman Anthony. You're going to hear about Christian Campbell. You're going to hear about they are one more, I forget. And we're going to see if they're going to be able to mature. Now, when these things come along, the rule of thumb generally is in sports that they all don't make it. Somebody's going to flop and somebody's going to make it, and we don't know who's going to be who. But there is interest in that. That's going to be my interest as a fan this year, is to see about the development of these young players with this team and how far they can take them.
Well, let's move the money around. Santander goes to Toronto. We take Tyler O'Neill, and we're going to compare their stats. Bob Ryan compares stats to no one. He's at the Boston Globe. I remember when you called me a couple years ago and you told me you were getting old and you needed to retire and all. You're going to retire and all that. I'm thinking to myself, you're in it forever, right? Like I had Jerry Eisenberg on recently. You still have a couple books left in you, I think, Bob. Am I wrong?
Possible. Yeah, it's true. It's true. We've had a, my last book out with Bill Chuck on my scorebooks, my 44 years of scorebooks, and just the stuff, the great treasures that you find inside, these scorebooks. Who knows? It could be. I still feel good. I can still write. I still write for the Globe every other Sunday. And I do two podcasts, one with Jeff Goodman and Gary Tangway, and one just with Gary, because Jeff travels around a lot, and he's still active. I did retire officially in 2012 after the London Olympics. I do not have a full-time job, and so
does that
I don't have
feel?
a
How does that
boss.
feel to not have a gig? Does it feel good?
Oh yeah, but I mean, I know it was the right decision, and it was the right decision. Every once in a while, there'll be a game that'll come along. And say, I would have loved to have written that one, you know. That's but not, you know, that's still there, you know. And I see things that, frankly, sometimes other people don't see in the game, and I want to. I think that ought to be preserved. Now, of course, what I did and made a living out of for, you know, a long time, writing classic game stories, they barely exist anymore. And even my own paper has discouraged. Well, we've got. Frankly, we got some people that write game stories on their teams, and other teams that write with, you know, these observations. You know, that's, I mean, you don't have to be a literate, not honestly literate, you don't have to be a cohesive writer, a coherent writer with a beginning, a middle, and an end of a story if you're just going to write observations, you know. And I prided myself in writing, you know, really complete game stories, and as for people could consult later on for posterity.
Who, what, where, why, when? Now all on AI. The one thing they'll never AI is your insights or mine, for that matter. My name's Ness, and I didn't realize that Ness was such a great suffix. So I call mine columnists because, like, I grew up reading columnists, great
That's
ones like
funny, yeah.
Bob Ryan and John Stedman, my mentor around here, and I have John Eisenberg, and I try to have all of you on because I'm a kid that read your work that wanted to grow up to be you. So anytime you spend time with me, it's time well spent, Bob Rhines. Take care of yourself. Keep writing. Keep opining. I guess Rabel will get it together up there, and we'll see you against the Red Sox at some point here this spring. All right.
Right. Yeah, check back in anytime.
I love having you on. Bob Ryan always says yes to us, has always said yes to the people of New England, and doing the right thing and covering sports, and also with ESPN. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.